Welcome to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins. Mike is a well-known keynote speaker, personal development expert, and the best-selling author of the book titled Focus on the Good Stuff and Be Yourself. Everyone else is already taken. Mike delivers life-enhancing speeches, seminars, and workshops throughout the United States and Canada, and has inspired tens of thousands through his speaking, coaching, and writing.
Hey there. Welcome to Let's Get Real with me, Mike Robbins. Thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure and an honor to get to connect with you in this way. Hope you're doing well. I'm excited about today's show. We got a great guest, and we're going to be talking about sales. Now, some of us listening work directly in sales, and selling is absolutely part of our job. And, you know, some of us may not specifically, although if we really look at it, there's some aspect of sales going on in our lives all the time, even though I know sometimes that word can trigger some of us for various reasons. So we'll probably talk about that. But more specifically, we're going to talk about how we can sell more with more ease, with more abundance, with more effectiveness. And our guest is an expert in that. So let me tell you a little bit about him and then bring him on to share some of his wisdom. Our guest today is best-selling author Bob Berg, and Bob shares information on topics vital to the success of today's business person. He speaks for corporations and associations internationally, including Fortune 500 companies, franchises, and numerous direct sales organizations. Bob regularly addresses audiences ranging in size from 50 all the way up to 16,000, sharing the platform with notables, including today's top thought leaders, broadcast journalists, personalities, Olympic athletes, political leaders, and all kinds of folks, even a former U.S. president. I want to hear about that. For years, he was best known for his book, Endless Referrals, Network Your Everyday Contacts into Sales, which thus far has sold well over 175,000 copies and is still going strong. His previous book, co-authored with John David Mann, is entitled The Go-Giver, a business parable that both touches hearts and build bigger bank accounts. It shot to number 6 on the Wall Street Journal bestseller list in just 3 weeks after its release. It's also Bob's 4th book to top the 100,000 mark in sales, which, as I'm sure we'll talk about, in case you're not aware, that's a really, really big deal as an author. And now his newest book, which we're going to talk about specifically today, is entitled Go Givers Sell More. It's also co-authored by John David Mann, and this book takes the 5 laws of the Go Giver and applies them directly to the selling process. Bob is an advocate, supporter, and defender of the free enterprise system, believing that the amount of money one makes is directly proportional to how many people they serve. He's a lover of animals and is a past member of the board of directors for Safe Harbor, which is the Humane Society of Jupiter, Florida, where he lives. So, Bob Berg, welcome to Let's Get Real. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Mike, thank you. It's an honor. I was listening in on your call the other night that you did, and wow, was it great.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, Bob, it's great to connect directly. We have a lot of mutual friends mm-hmm. and people we know, and I hear your name in lots of glowing terms. And, of course, I'm very familiar with The Go-Giver and have had a copy of that book for quite a while. And our mutual friend, Lisa Earl McLeod,
That's
who
right.
I have had on this show and is a great author and speaker, as we know, put us in touch. So I'm grateful to be able to talk to you about your brand new book. Congratulations on Go Giver, Sell More. So in case anyone listening isn't familiar with what a Go Giver is, can you give us kind of a basic overview of what that means? And then we can delve more deeply into this new book.
Sure. A Go Giver is basically somebody who has come to realize, or maybe even intuitively knew, that shifting their focus from getting to giving, in this case meaning constantly and consistently adding value to people's lives, is not only a nice way to live life, but actually a very financially profitable way as well.
Right.
And this was sort of the underlining of the story, the first book, The Go-Giver, which was a business parable that I had the honor of co-authoring with John David Mann, who was really, he was really the writer.
Yes.
You know, I'm a how-to author by nature, and
yes.
You know, step 1, step 2, step 3, but John can can make a story come alive. So I was very grateful to have the opportunity to work with him.
That's nice. Yes, I know. I'm a how-to author myself. So the whole idea of writing a story or a parable, which I'm always impressed when people do, but I'm like, how do you think of those and write those down? I'm not quite sure.
Exactly. I hear you.
Yeah.
Believe me, I hear you.
but as you know, and I'm sure the feedback, and I can attest from your books specifically, I mean, the story, the parable, you know, that process, it speaks to people in a certain way that they can really get, right?
Yeah, it does. I think stories really connect with people.
Yeah.
And we can sort of, you know, even in the story with Joe, who was the main character mm-hmm. of the first one, we've all been Joe.
Sure.
You know, so Joe or Josephine. So, you know, it's something that we can all connect with. We can all see where we were there to
right.
a certain point. We still are there. It's just a matter of, you know, what field we happen to be in and where we need to grow the most.
Right. Now, some of the basic concepts you're talking about here, they sort of contradict some of the traditional mm-hmm. wisdom that most of us think. Now, is that intentional?
It is. John and I both kind of consider ourselves to be contrarian writers. We like to say contrarian, but not curmudgeon. You know, they're ones that are contrarian and they're nasty about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we like to think we're contrarian, but nice.
You're contrarian with a good attitude, right?
Exactly, yes. Exactly.
Okay, good.
And so, you know, you take something like the Go-Giver, and it's kind of a pattern interrupt. It's not what somebody expects to see.
Right.
And it also happens to be really what it was all about. So the combination of that really kind of worked out well. And even with the premises of the book, you know, the premise of that one that we just talked about, and even with Go-Givers Sell More, where the actual premise is that when it comes to sales, it's not about you, and it's not even about your product.
Right.
It's about them.
Right. Right. And I would, you know, one of the things as you're talking about this, it's popping up in my mind and, you know, possibly because some of my work focuses specifically on authenticity. I mean, it's got to be giving and serving in a genuine way, not doing it just to like a sort of sounds like a nice way of actually getting, right?
I mean, no, well, that's true. And what a go-giver really knows is, and this is how we see really the hugely successful people operating, and that is they understand a real paradox, and that is when you take your focus off yourself and put it on serving others, putting other people's interests first,
right.
You develop those relationships where people know you, they like you, they trust you, they want to see you succeed, they want to help you find new business, they want to follow you if you're a leader, they
right.
want to buy from you, do business with you, refer you others if you're in sales. But you do it, you give, as Sam says to Joe in the store, you don't give to get, you give to give.
Right.
Giving is not a strategy, it's a way of life.
Right.
And so you know, as you do this, you are going to receive an abundance, not because of some far out, you know, theory, but because it's obvious that you're planting these great seeds of goodwill.
Right.
The key is to do that without being attached to the outcome.
Mm.
It's to do it for the right reason. And as you said, it's doing it for that authentic reason. And one of the laws in the book
right,
is
the law of authenticity.
Now, we obviously don't take it anywhere nearly as deep as you take it. But, you know, it's interesting that we say the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself.
Yes.
And in the book, Deborah discovered or learned a very big lesson, and that is all the skills in the world, whether it's the sales skills, technical skills, people skills, as important as they are, and they are important, but they're all for naught if you don't come at it from a base, a foundation of your true authentic self.
Right.
Now, here's the cool thing, and I love this in your book. You know, we talk about the fact that really, you know, when people say, well, how do you learn to be more authentic? Well, I mean, a book like yours is a great way to learn how to be authentic, but it's really embracing it and understanding, and this is the key, that you are enough.
Yes.
Now, in your book, you say a couple of things very important. One is that underneath, there was a message that we weren't good enough
right.
just as we were.
Right.
And then you also say, and I love this, the more we operate as our personas, the more we actually train ourselves to believe that who we naturally are is not good enough.
Mm.
So we take that and let's say, for example, we know and we learn from you in your book and we learn that we are enough. And yet we also know, as you mentioned, growth is very important.
Yes.
It doesn't mean we stay where we are. It means as our true authentic selves, we desire to continue to become a better authentic self.
Yes.
We continue to grow. We read books. We listen to CDs. We attend seminars like yours the other night.
Right.
And what happens is we can learn. And the sages said, you know, who is the wise person? And answered, that person who learns from all others.
Mm.
Now we can tap into that knowledge, and it's great. We can learn from everyone. We can adapt their knowledge, but we don't adopt their essence. We
right.
stay true to our own essence.
Yes.
You know, I can learn from Brian Tracy. I can learn from Ivan Meisner.
Sure.
Gosh, I can learn from a lot of people. Certainly, I can learn from Mike Robbins. But I can't be Mike Robbins.
Right.
I can't be Ivan Meisner. I can't be Brian Tracy. I can only be the best authentic self that I can be.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, for sure. And it's great, you know, that the fourth law, the law of authenticity, of course, you and I are completely aligned there. And you know, Bob, what I find...
Well, you take it to a wonderful level, though. I mean, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed your book. I mean,
oh,
I got to learn
you.
Things about myself in there. And you know, and I could go around for the next few days saying, if you only really knew me, you know.
Absolutely. You know, it's, well.
If you really knew me, you'd know.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, thank you. I mean, I'm honored and appreciate you just exemplifying some of the go-giver nature just in your kind words about my book and my work. It's interesting when you're working with salespeople, as I know you do, you know, all over the country, around the world, different types of organizations, different types of salespeople. Do you find that one of the reactions might be, let's say the salesperson who's struggling, who's not doing very well, or, you know, is there often a mentality of like, yeah, I'll start giving and being more generous and service oriented once I'm doing better? Do you know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
is that kind of a general mentality, that
yeah.
you know, feedback that you hear sometimes?
It's what we call, I'll throw the wood onto the fireplace, you know, once it starts giving me some heat.
Right.
And we know it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And you know, in a sense, it comes back to when you asked about being contrarian in some way. We're contrarian to the people who don't already buy into these principles.
Right.
But you find that the ultra-successful people, there's nothing contrarian about this to them.
Hmm.
You know, I was reading a book. It was a book that was referred to me that really nobody's heard of. I've even blogged about the book. It was so great. It was by a guy named Lee Herron.
Hmm.
And Lee was CEO of O.C. Scott & Company, the lawn people, back in the late 60s and the 70s and the early 80s. This guy, the wisdom in his book was amazing, and everything he did just exemplified that level 5 leader that Jim Collins talked about
right.
in his book, Good to Great. And he cared so much about his people, his employees, about his customers, about he put everybody's interest. But this guy was no Casper Milquetoast. This
right.
guy made a ton of money, and his company grew and grew and grew. He's loved throughout the town, you know, today in Marysville, Ohio. You know, and this is a person who gets it, that no, you put the wood on first.
Right.
You know, you deposit money in the bank before you get interest.
Yes.
It just, you know, doesn't work the other way around. It's
yeah.
just, it's a universal law.
Absolutely.
And I agree with you completely. There's a lot of people who don't really see that, and you can't blame them, because the model of the world they've been given, whether it was through a combination of upbringing, environment, you know, schooling, television news, you know,
right.
the movies or what have you, where we get so many negative messages about how the world really works.
Right.
So, you know, we
yeah.
all come from our belief systems.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd love to delve into the 5 laws that you lay out in the book and talk about how we can tap into those laws to sell more in a authentic and fulfilling way. Again, we're talking to best-selling author Bob Berg about his brand-new book, Go Givers Sell More. If you want to go online and check out more, go to gogiverssellmore.com. You can even download the first chapter of the book there and sign up for Bob's great newsletter list and be more connected to his work and what he's doing. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the laws that he teaches us in Go Givers Sell More. Stay with us. You're listening to Let's Get Real with me, Mike Robbins, here on Energy Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
It's time to start all over, make a new beginning. straight from the heart of Mother Nature's glistening oceans to your pulse. While the world views pearls as symbols of beauty and wealth, for centuries, pearls have been revered as a fountain of health among naturopaths in Egypt, China, India, and Mayan cultures. For the first time in North America, Pearlseum presents pearl powder in its purest form as a health supplement. Pearlseum's patent-pending manufacturing process is revolutionary and unlike any other. After years of research, Dr. Rulan Chu has unlocked the secret of extraction of pure signal proteins from pearls. And the result? The most authentic composition of bioavailable pearl signal proteins that assist to rejuvenate the skin, bone, and vital organs. Modern science confirms what ancient medics have proven to be true, that pearl powder regenerates skin, increases collagen levels, and enhances longevity. Scientific studies using sheep prove that pearl powder can be integral to bone regeneration and substitution. Rooted in traditional wisdom and enhanced by Pearlseum is your key to radiant health, beauty, well-being, and prosperity. Become a distributor and you will be privy to a cutting-edge and revolutionary supplement. You will bring an ancient secret to light and empower thousands of people. While you inspire thousands to lead a healthy and vibrant life, you will build a solid foundation for you and your family. To order this amazing product today or to start your path to prosperity by becoming a distributor, contact Pearlseum International. Call 1-866-446-2015.
Hey there. Welcome back to Let's Get Real with me, Mike Robbins. We're having a great conversation here talking to best-selling author Bob Berg about his brand new book, Go Givers Sell More. So, Bob, I know we sort of talked a little bit about this before the break, but let's dive into. I know you have the five laws of stratospheric success that you lay out in Go Givers Sell More. And so let's go through those and maybe you can talk a little bit about the laws and how they relate to the selling process specifically.
Sure. The first law, law number one, is the law of value. And the law of value simply says that your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Now, this, you know, at first can sound a little counterintuitive, almost counterproductive, because we might think, well, gosh, give more in value than I take in payment. Isn't that, you know, kind of a nicey-nice thing that's going to lead to bankruptcy? So we simply have to understand the difference between price and value, which are two different things. Price is a dollar figure. It's a dollar amount. Value is the relative worth or desirability of a thing to the end user. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, this service, this concept idea that brings with it so much value or worth that somebody will not only pay for it, but they'll be just delighted, just glad they did. And, you know, we could use a very quick example of maybe an accountant who you hire to do your tax returns. And let's say he charges $1,000, just a round figure, $1,000. But he saves you $5,000, saves you 25 hours of time, and provides you with the security of knowing it was done correctly. So while his price was $1,000, the value he provided you was well over $5,000. Yet he still made a healthy profit, so everybody not only won, everybody came out great.
That's true. In fact, I just found a new accountant myself, and the new person is more expensive than the other person, but my sense is the value is going to be much greater. Okay, no, that totally makes sense. So it's about bringing value and giving that value.
Law number two takes it a little bit of a step further, and that is the law of compensation, which says your income is determined by how many people you serve as well as how well you serve them. So, in other words, where law number one says to give more in value than you take in payment, law number two tells us that the more people whose lives you add that kind of exceptional value to, the more money with which you'll be rewarded. So, you know, our accountant did a great job of providing more in value than he took in payment while still making a good profit. And like your accountant, your new accountant, if he does that, which he probably will, you'll feel great about him. You'll do business with him again and probably refer him to others.
Absolutely.
And so this person develops an army of what we call personal walking ambassadors.
Right.
And, you know, as he continues to add that kind of exceptional value to the lives of more and more people, his income will continue to grow and grow. So law number one, the law of value, is sort of that sort of represents your potential income. But law number two, the number of lives you touch with that value, that represents your actual income.
Mm, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Law number three is the law of influence.
Mm-hmm.
And this says your influence is determined by how abundantly you put other people's interests first. Again, sounds kind of counterproductive at best and downright Pollyanna-ish at worst, but the successful people, this is what they do.
Right.
And, you know, it's not foregoing your self-interest, but it's suspending it. You know who said it? Tom Powers in his great book, Networking for Life, said that. He said the energy derives from a willing suspension of self-interest. And it reminds me of the movie term, the willing suspension of disbelief.
Mm.
You know, you go to a movie, you know that what's on screen is fake. It's a story. You're watching it on a screen with a lot of people in the room.
Right.
You know that you know, Bruce Willis doesn't really overtake a band of terrorist thugs in 75 minutes making wisecracks about the terrorist while the guy has a gun pointed at his head.
Right.
Okay, but, you know, in order to enjoy the story,
right,
be able to laugh, be able to cry, be able to feel the fit, you know, you suspend your disbelief.
Yes.
And it's the same thing here. You're suspending yourself. You're actually putting yourself in a mind frame, in a mindset in which you care more about that other person's success than yourself. You're shifting your focus. Now, Mike, here's really what the crux of the whole thing. And it just goes like this. All things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust.
Yep.
And that's it. And there's no better, quicker, faster, more effective, more genuine way to elicit those feelings toward you in others than by suspending your own self-interest and actually focusing more on their win.
Right. Right. And it actually, on the one hand, on the surface level, of course, it's counterintuitive. But as we go deeper, it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And it kind of comes back to, and it's perfect because we already talked about, you know, law number four a bit, and we can talk about it here, the law of authenticity, because everything you're saying, at least from what I can hear, is predicated on the idea that it's done in a genuine way. Because if I'm pretending that your interests are actually important when really I'm just – it's my nice way of trying to get you to buy from me, that's probably not going to work, right?
I think you hit it right on the head. That's exactly it. I mean, you really have to be – and, you know, and people can – generally tell. I mean, every so often there's somebody who comes along and they can really fake it. I mean, what was the old Hollywood saying? Something like authenticity is key, and if you can fake that, you've got it made.
So, you know, but, that's pretty good. Yeah.
But it really is. It's hard to be one. You know, it's hard to be one person at the office and one person
right
at home. And people who say they do that, I think they really have some challenges.
Well, and I think, you know, I think more and more our culture is getting, you know, you could say in a cynical way, more jaded. But on the other hand, I actually think it's just more aware and conscious
mm-hmm
of, you know, being sold and being manipulated, whether it's overtly in sort of advertising and kind of in a macro level, but even on a micro level in terms of relationships, you know, we get a sense and salespeople, particularly in certain types of businesses and certain types of industries, and you know this as an expert, there's more they have to overcome because there's that perception. I was speaking to a group of life insurance agents a couple months back, and I said, hey, listen, I'm a motivational speaker. You guys are life insurance agents. We both got pretty bad reputations, right? People are thinking, oh, cheesy, or oh, they're going to – whatever. I said, so the thing is how we break through all that, of course, is we just got to be real.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're real, now you're not Bob the motivational speaker, me, I'm Mike the motivator or author. You know, he's not Jim the life insurance salesman, or she's not Susie the life – it's like there's a person there
right
dealing with another person.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
And you know what's really interesting? In certain fields, like with life insurance
mm-hmm –
most people have that feeling, you know, the life insurance stereotypical, that's how they think of life insurance salespeople.
Right.
But most people love their life insurance.
It's true. It's true. It's the they say about politicians too. Everyone hates Congress but loves their congressperson,
right?
But
right.
So yeah, it's funny like that. Like, yeah, it's the generic one. Like the guy that I do have all my life insurance, I love him. He's like one of the most important people in my life, and I trust him literally with my life and with all our financial decisions.
Right.
So absolutely. You know, I hope that people have those relationships with you know, or even the guy that sells you the used car. You hope you trust him enough that you're going to buy a car that you can put your family in and feel good about. You're right. I think there's some perceptions that, you know, we buy into. And then your fifth law is what? The law of receptivity, right?
Yeah. And, you know, this is an interesting one because it sort of brings it home and starts the circle going again. The law of receptivity simply says that the key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. Near the end of the first book, Pindar, the main mentor, tells his protege Joe to breathe out and hold that breath to the count of 30. And Joe tries, but of course, in short time, he's running out of breath, gasping for air. Pindar says, "What's the matter, Joe? Can't do it?" And Joe says, "No, I can't just breathe out. I've got to breathe in as well." And Pindar says, "Well, what if I was to tell you it's been medically proven that breathing out is actually healthier than breathing in?" And Joe just kind of laughs. He says, "Well, that's impossible. You've got to do both. You've got to breathe out and you've got to breathe in." Aha. Exactly right. You've got to do both. You breathe out, you breathe in. You breathe out carbon dioxide. You breathe in oxygen.
Right.
You breathe out, which is giving. You breathe in, which is receiving. Well, it's the same with giving. I mean, and receiving. They're each giving and receiving are simply two sides of the very same coin.
Right.
And they work best in tandem.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people might really have a challenge with receiving. In fact, people said to John and me, you know, it's the first four laws, you know, were like polished wood. The fifth law gave me splinters.
Yeah.
And because we do have again, depending upon our mindset, depending what we've had programmed into us through society or through family or through what have you, we might look at money as being a bad thing or evil, you know, rich people are evil. And, you know, some of these things which, you know, really are counterproductive. And unless you can allow yourself to receive. And, you know, I had to get about 25 years ago, I read a great book called Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz, written in 1960.
Mm.
And it was great because he really showed how Psycho-Cybernetics sounds like a very difficult, but it's not. It's written in very layperson's terms.
Right.
It just talks about the fact that the mind is built as a servo mechanism that should allow us to succeed. And yet, when it gets filled up with the wrong information unconsciously, and you know, it's the old iceberg thing you were talking about in your book, most of everything is below the surface.
Right.
So, you know, so what he does is he shows us how to reprogram the mind. And it helped me a lot because until I was able to do that, I certainly couldn't achieve abundance if I couldn't receive.
Right.
What's funny though, and tell me if I'm overstepping a break or something.
No, it's good.
Right after the book came out, my bookkeeper, Trina, was over doing some work, and she was using a pen. It wasn't a fancy pen, but it was had a neat design on it. I said, "Hey, Trina, that's a nice-looking pen. I want to get one. Where did you buy that?" And she goes, "Oh, no, here, have this one. I got plenty." And I went, "Oh, no, that's okay." And she said, "No, really, here, it's yours. I'm giving it to you." I said, "No, that's all right. I don't need it." And she goes, "Why won't you take it?" I said, "Well, it's your pen. I wouldn't feel right taking it." And she looked at me, and she said, "Bob, it's really a very simple two-step process. Number one, take the pen. Number two, say thank you."
Wow.
You know, here I am. I had just co-authored a book where one of the main laws was the law of receptivity, and I couldn't accept a little pen.
Yeah.
So, you know, it comes back, and we've got to stay conscious of it because we can continue to fall into that trap.
Absolutely. You know, I think at some level, Bob, and you know this, we teach best some of the things we must know and learn,
right? You know it. Yeah, you mentioned that in your book. It's absolutely true.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about I love it, you know, and I'm even thinking you guys could do a whole nother series, the Go Receivers, right? I mean, but being able to – but I mean, the piece, it almost seems like the most superficial level – is the level of getting, where we're just coming from the ego and we're running around trying to get, right? And then this next level that you're talking about in teaching really has to do with giving in an authentic way, right? And that sort of the deepest place of that giving actually then comes full circle back to the ability to receive. And I think, you know, societally, if we could start, and in our relationships and in business, if we could all start to learn to do that, you know, in a more genuine way, imagine what the world and what business would look like. We are gonna take a break here, but when we come back from the break, I want to talk about these laws, but specifically about some of the things that you talk about in the book that sort of poke holes in the notion of sales the way we often think about it, and how we can sort of shift our paradigm about selling, because I think a lot of us, myself included, often have some negative connotations about it. So talk about some of that fun stuff. Again, we're talking to best-selling author Bob Berg about his fantastic new book, Go Givers Sell More. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about how we can shift our paradigm about selling. You're listening to Let's Get Real here on Energy Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Galileo's head was on the block. The crime was looking up the truth. And as the bombshells of my daily fears explode, I try to trace them to my youth. And then you had to bring up reincarnation.
Tune in to Life Without Limitation with Mark and Dea, where we explore stories of miracles, wellness, prosperity, and enlightenment through sound meditation and transformational thought processes. The show is based on the teachings of spiritual leader Dattatreya Shiva Baba, the YouTube guru who inspired best-selling author Dr. Wayne Dyer to write Manifest Your Destiny. The show is hosted by Mark and Dea, who experienced miraculous recovery from HIV and AIDS over 7 years ago and survived a major heart procedure without anesthesia through meditations taught to him by Dattatreya Shiva Baba. Experience a life without limitation here on Energy Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to EnergyTalkRadio.com. If you would like to listen to any show on demand, please go to our shows page, find the program you're looking for, and click on the View All Shows button. There you can play any show on any device that plays MP3s. We hope you enjoy this convenient feature, knowing that you're making a difference just by listening.
Hey there, welcome back to Let's Get Real with me, Mike Robbins. Always puts me in a good mood to hear a little Stevie Wonder. Hope you're doing great. We're having a great conversation with best-selling author Bob Berg about his new book, Go Givers Sell More. And if you want to check out more about the book and about Bob's work, just go to gogiverssellmore.com and you can download the first chapter of the book, as well as find out more about Bob speaking and the work that he does with salespeople and organizations. And it's a great, great site. Lots of information there. So, Bob, we've been talking, you know, a bit about the five laws of stratospheric success you lay out in the book, specifically as it relates to the selling process. And you really do break, you know, some paradigms about sales in the book, or kind of offer us some different ways to look at it. Let's talk a little bit about some of those.
One of the things that John and I wanted to do from the get-go, or I guess from the give-go, is to kind of define what sales is and what it isn't. Because if you're talking about sales, if you're talking about selling, and understanding, as you and I were discussing earlier, that people have sort of a preconceived notion about it.
Sure.
It's good to first set the premise so that we're operating from a true premise as opposed to a false premise, or at least a premise that we're all on the same wavelength.
Right.
Knowing where we're coming from. So, you know, our first thought is that a lot of people look at sales kind of backwards. Might see it as convincing people to do, you know, to buy something they don't want to buy. But it right. really isn't. It's about learning what people do want and helping them to get it. We might think it's about taking advantage of others, while in fact, sales is all about giving people more advantage. But probably, Mike, the biggest inversion of all, and this is what John and I call the great upside-down misconception about sales, is that it's an effort to get something from others. When the truth is that sales at its best, and when I say at its best, I mean it's most effective, it's most profitable, is actually the opposite. It's about giving.
Right.
And even the old English root of the word sell is selan, which literally meant to give. So the question is, okay, so Bob, you say it's all about giving. What are we as salespeople actually giving? And I think this is important because we really need to be, if we're in sales, we need to be proud that that's what we're doing, or it right. makes it awfully tough to do it.
It's true.
Selling is giving. It's giving time. It's giving attention. It's giving counsel. It's giving education. It's giving empathy. And most of all, it's giving value. So if you're in sales, that's exactly what you're doing, and should really be proud of that.
Right. Well, and what do you – so let me give you an example. I mean, and you can relate to this because you and I are in – the same similar industry of mm-hmm. writing books and selling books and speaking and training within organizations. And, you know, one of my own hesitancies is I don't want to be one of those salesy, overly promotional kind of guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and there's a lot of people in our industry, let's be honest about it, who do that. Mm-hmm. And that's their approach. And sometimes to my own detriment, I've gone the opposite direction simply out of my fear of being, you know, perceived or judged in the way that I somewhat arrogantly will judge. Oh, look at him. He's one of those kind of, you know what I mean?
Sure. And so, I do the same thing. Absolutely.
Right. And
as
so,
far as judging that, sure.
Right. Now, and again, whether people do what you and I do, and not everybody listening does, but in their own industry, in their own work, whatever they do, I think the concern of being too salesy or too pushy will sometimes have people, and I, you know, swing the pendulum the opposite mm-hmm. direction. What can we do about that?
Okay, well, first, I think you're right, and that is exactly what some people do.
Right.
But here's where authenticity and everything you talk about in your book really comes into play, and that is all you need to do is actually tap into your own self and your own essence, and it's going to be fine.
Okay.
Just for example, let me go back, if I can, just to the speaking part, because yep. doing that for the last 20 years now,
yep.
I've seen just, in, you know, and I know you've been doing it for a long time now, and you know, so we've seen a lot of that. We've
sure.
both gone to programs, perhaps spoken at programs, where it was nothing more than an infomercial that people were doing.
Right, exactly.
And you and I can just imagine the disgust both of us. And is it judging? Well, yeah, but at the same time, we feel like people are paying to attend there. They deserve to get value, not
right.
just an infomercial.
Right, exactly.
So we might say, okay, well, I don't want to sell because I want to, you know, be the opposite. But here's the thing. We are selling because, again, we're helping people to get what they want, but
sure.
that doesn't mean we have to speak for 90 minutes on an infomercial.
Right.
It means we can totally provide value for that first 88 minutes.
Right.
And, you know,
yeah.
and then the last 2 minutes, we show people what we have to offer that can help them improve even more and take the learning at the next level,
right.
knowing that some people aren't going to. Other people are going to say, wow, I'm glad that, you know, they're offering that.
Right.
And, you know, and that's what we do. I remember when I first went to a Zig Ziglar seminar, gosh, it had to be 25 years now. He was so great. It was at the Oklahoma City Civic Center.
Yeah.
I was living in Oklahoma at the time, actually. I was in sales with a company just starting, just getting my legs out under me in sales. And I really was on a quest to learn more and more. And at the time, I went into that company. I was so broke. My initial short-term goal was just to work my way up to being able to survive. It wasn't anything real special, so
right.
I wasn't operating with a lot of cash. But Zig did his program and gave so much value. And at the end, when he offered his new, back then it was tapes, not even CDs.
Right.
When he offered his tapes, I've got to have that. And I took money that probably I could have spent on something else, but I knew that's what I wanted to do because I needed it.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something. That tape of Zig's helped me so much.
Yeah.
And had he not at the end made that offer, I never would have had the benefits of that.
It's true.
So when we really know that what we have our hands on is something that brings value to other people,
yep.
then we should be selling it. But again, we got to go back to sell. Sell does not mean we obnoxiously,
right,
you know, knock on someone's head until they buy.
You know? Yeah.
It means we make the offer in such a way that we present the benefits in a way that they're best understood, and
right,
then we leave it up to that person to make the decisions. You know, Bill Gove, a great speaker,
yep,
who I knew years and years and years ago, and a lovely human being, but he once said, Bob, you know, when it comes to sale, when it comes to anything, you're responsible to people, not for people.
Yes.
You know, you're responsible to them to do the best you can to give them the opportunity, and but you're not responsible for their decisions. And as long as you understand that, it really takes the pressure off.
Yeah, that's
and
a great,
just be yourself.
That's a great distinction. And I think, you know, one thing I've said to people over the years, Bob, whether it's selling, marketing, promoting, having your own business of any kind, is, you know, talk about a great personal development workshop on a daily basis, right? We get to learn about ourselves, mm-hmm, in the selling process. And as I love what you write about in your books, and specifically in Go Give or Sell More, that it really is a process of us kind of working ourselves out internally to some degree to be, right, able to give in that way, so it's not all about what we're getting, right?
Exactly.
And exactly. For people who, you know, really want to take themselves to the next level in their business, in their sales, in their, you know, what they're providing or offering to people, what are some tips? What are some techniques that they can use to actually start to make some positive change?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing is, once they have the focus, once they've understood that in the process it isn't about them, it's about the other person, they're really, that's the first step in the right direction. Now, it's also important that, you know, that they learn what it takes in their business to present what they do or the benefits of their product or service in the most correct way.
Mm.
You know, it's an interesting thing. There's an old sales axiom, or bromide, if you will, that every year millions and millions of quarter-inch drill bits are sold, and yet not one person buying one of these millions and millions of quarter-inch drill bits actually wants a quarter-inch drill bit. What they want is a quarter-inch hole. Once we understand that what we're selling is not the drill bit, we're,
right,
selling the hole. We're selling what that person wants, what they need in their life.
Right.
You know, you go back to insurance. If you're in insurance, you're not selling insurance. You're selling peace of mind and security.
Right.
You know, if you're in real estate, you're not selling homes. You're selling future memories. You know,
right,
you're selling the benefits. You're selling what's going to make that person feel good, solve their problem, help them. So the first thing is that is the focus. Secondly, it is understanding what is it that you're really selling.
Mm.
You know, product knowledge is great. You've got to have it. But you have that only so that you can help that other person.
Right.
You know, see how it's going to help them.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Well, it seems that there's a connection there too with, I know you talk about this whole idea is you can't make a sale.
Right,
which is a way, yeah, that it gets termed all the time, and we're making sales, like close the deal, like, you know. So,
right,
what do you mean by we can't make a sale?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, people say, "What do you mean?" Yeah, you know, we make sales every day.
Right, we're making sales all, right, the time. If we're not making sales, someone's in trouble, right?
Exactly. You know, in a free enterprise based economy, free enterprise based society, nobody is actually forced to buy from you. So literally, you can't make a sale because you can't make anyone do anything they don't want to do.
Mm.
What you can do is you can create an environment, a context, where that person knows, likes, and trusts you. They respect you, and they come to feel that you and or your product service is the answer to their needs. You know, what it is they're looking for, what's going to help satisfy their desire, whatever it happens to be. And so while you can't make a sale, you can create the environment where a sale is made, and you're simply there to receive that. And again, that's simply the difference between where the focus is. If you're out there to make a sale, the focus is on you. If you're out there to allow a sale to happen,
right,
because that person feels that it's the right choice for them, now you're focused on them.
Yes.
And again, the paradox is, to the degree you focus on them, not you, that's the degree that you are going to make the sale.
I see. Okay. So making a sale is about us. Allowing the sale to happen is about them, and that's the distinction.
Exactly.
That's great. Well, and when you go into companies, to organizations, to speak, to do training, to work with their salespeople, who are you usually talking to, or does it vary? And B, what kinds of stuff Are you teaching them? Are you teaching them the principles out of this book specifically, or how are you empowering salespeople within organizations?
Yeah, the biggest thing I do is I'll go into a sales organization because one of the biggest challenges that salespeople have are simply, who am I going to talk to next now that my original list of names is running out?
Right.
And there's sort of a thing where, wow, you know, the more people who tell me no, the closer I am to being out of business.
Right.
When that happens, you know, it's hard to really have a lot of posture when you finally do talk to someone when you're so dependent on their buying.
Right.
You know, I define posture as when you care, but not that much. You know, you're not emotionally attached to the result.
Right. Right.
It's hard to do that when this is your last person you have,
exactly.
You're going to have to talk to when you have nobody else to talk to.
Exactly. Well, it's that whole adage, you know, nothing succeeds like success,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So a lot of times I go in and I just teach them how to very gently, very effectively, and in a very fun way, be able to continue to cultivate new people.
Yeah.
Who they can really develop the know, like, and trust relationships with, and who will they'll do direct business with and referral. So it all starts in our model, in John's and my model, it all starts with value from that first conversation.
Right. Well, and that's great. I mean, and you know, anyone listening, if you work for a sales organization, or you know, you're in a direct selling business, or any, you know, you really want to pick up copies of Go Givers Sell More, as well as, you know, you can contact Bob directly about coming into, you know, work at company or speak to people. Because the thing, Bob, that I appreciate so much about your books, and then now talking to you, I can feel it, you know, is there's a sense of heart in what you're talking about. There's a sense of humanness. I mean, of course, look, there's nothing wrong with being successful and making money and selling and doing the, I mean, that's right. That's part of what this is about, having abundance for us to be successful. But
sure.
What I appreciate about you and your approach is that there's a genuine, authentic sense of being of service. Again, not just the lip service of being of service, but an actual commitment to that. Yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think it's important because what you said just even here a few minutes ago, it made a difference for me. You know, the story about the Zig Ziglar seminar and him offering the tape set and you getting it and the whole bit is I got to remind myself, and I think a lot of people listening, we got to remind ourselves that what we have to give is valuable. And just because sometimes we get uncomfortable, or what if they say no, or what if they think we're pushy, or what if they think we're just like the, you know, salesperson down the street, or whatever that is, that's really the kind of small s self, us being worried. It's our ego, right? I mean, it's all about us. And what you're teaching us here is that it's really more about serving them.
Sure. Well, you know, if you take, for example, your call the other night, I mean, you provided, it was an hour of pure value. Now, at the end, the woman who was doing that with you, and I'm so sorry, I can't remember.
Amy, yes.
Very nicely let people know about the three-week course.
Right.
And put together, you know, gave the benefits, told what it was. And, of course, I'm in sales. I love listening and hearing how they, you know, present.
Sure.
And then she gave the price. And now the value to me had been built up so much. I thought it was great. I'm thinking, wow, I can only imagine. And then it was a very reasonable price. Now, this is great.
Yes.
And so had you not offered it, a whole bunch of people wouldn't have the opportunity. You know,
right.
Like you don't want to make them find out. You know, you've got to be able to let them know,
right.
This is what we put together for you.
Yes.
And so the people taking advantage, I imagine a whole lot of people did, they're going to get just superb value.
Yes.
For a very, very fair price. And it's like, wow, everybody wins that way.
Yeah.
But selling had to happen.
Right.
You know, the offer had to be put out there.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. And if I think for all of us and the different ways that we sell and promote, I mean, I do some work with salespeople myself. And, you know, so one of the basics we all learn about, so you got to ask for the business, right? You go into the meeting, you sit there the whole time, you do your whole thing, and thanks, see you later.
It's all right, like, yeah, you've been great. Hey.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the big elephant in the room,
right?
You know, that we're afraid to just ask. Because now, what do you teach people or coach people, Bob, on in the whole sort of fear of rejection, fear of hearing no? What are some things we can do to continue to kind of get over that, which seems to be sort of a normal part of being human, but doesn't serve us very well in our sales process?
You know, you're right. It is part of being human, and it doesn't serve us very well. And yet, you know, I think most of us have these fears. You know, there's another old sales bromide that says, you know, when they say no to you, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting your offer. Mm. And you know what? That's fine and well, but I don't know about you. I don't like it. I feel bad when someone rejects me, you know, when I feel it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I think that's a human thing. That also comes down to, and we talk about that very briefly in the book when we talk about, you know, picking up that 200-pound object known as the telephone,
right,
to make sales calls.
Right.
And, you know, so some people say, okay, well, just get yourself really motivated and psyched in it. Yeah, that's fine, until a couple people say no.
Right.
So that's why if you can focus instead on that other person and what you're bringing to them, that's going to help you alleviate your own anxiety. Now, that doesn't mean it makes it so it's a, you know, so that it takes it away altogether.
Right.
But when you can take it off yourself and say, okay, there's another person on the phone, and there's a chance that they need what I'm offering.
Mm.
When you can do that, now you're, you know, because the focus is there, you know, and it's just like, Mike, let's say, for instance, you've got a situation where someone's giving you an objection in a sale, and we always hear about that, the objections, and we've got to answer objections. And what happens is sometimes it becomes almost a, you know, where the salesperson and the prospect are at odds with each other, which doesn't help anyone.
Hmm.
For example, let's say in real estate, and let's take two real quick examples. The realtor is talking with a potential buyer, a prospect. She really likes the house, but she has concerns and says, well, I don't know. You know, I think maybe the house is too far from town. And the realtor says, well, actually, it's only 10 miles away, not really far at all. Well, we like to feel really close to where everything is. Not a problem. It's a 25-minute ride on a bad day. Without traffic, you can make it in 15. I don't know. I'm not sure. But you like the home itself, right? Well, okay, now that's not communicating.
Right.
That's arm wrestling. And that's a person totally focused on making the sale, not on the needs of that person, to the point that he's really not listening to that person. So you take, and again, and please pardon me, but let me know if I'm coming close to a...
No, we're coming up close on the end of the show, unfortunately, because we've been, it's been going by quickly. But no, this is great. You said you had, is there another example you wanted to share?
Yeah. Well, let's say in this case, same buyer says, you know, I don't know, I think maybe the house is too far from home, from town. Okay, now the realtor says, how so? What are you thinking? Well, you know, we love the home, but we like to feel really close to where everything is. Sounds like that's really important to you. So when you say where everything is, are there specific things you're thinking of? Well, yeah, I guess with our little girl and maybe a few more kids coming over the next couple of years, we want to make sure we have access to whatever we need, whether it's just something like shopping or going to the movies or even the hospital if the kids hurt themselves. And my husband and I grew up right in the city. We're used to being just minutes from everything. I guess 10 miles seems like a lifetime away.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, that makes a lot of sense. So as much as you love the idea of living in the home, we need to balance that with your and Dave's comfort level as far as distance from town goes. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's it, exactly. So now he says that, you know, there are some development plans underway just a couple miles from here. And there's going to be stores and movie theater and emergency center. But, you know, we don't know if that's what's going to meet your needs or not. But would you be open to taking a look and seeing if we're even in the ballpark? Okay, so now what he's done, if by listening instead of debating and communicating that he cares more about her than the commission, he's put them in a place where they're now together solving a mutual problem or challenge, as opposed to one being against the other.
Right. Yeah. No, and it's a totally different context to come from as it relates to the needs and wanting to serve the people that they're working with there.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, wow, you know, it's amazing how quickly sometimes these conversations go by when we get really engaged. Now, in terms of people, you know, staying in touch with you, Bob, or picking up copies of the book, is the best place for them to go gogiverssellmore.com?
Yeah, they can go there and download Chapter 1 if they'd like to see if they like the book, and then from there they can either click through to Amazon or barnesandnoble.com, or they can just go to their local bookseller.
Great.
Yeah, and, you know, people can find me on Twitter if they'd like, at Bob Burg, B-U-R-G.
Nice.
or Facebook, which is facebook.com/BergBob. And my other website's Berg.com, B-U-R-G.com. I like to keep things simple.
Nice.
And, yeah, so I look forward to connecting with people, whoever would like to. And I really thank you for having me on your program. You just do some marvelous work, and it's really a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, thanks, Bob. I appreciate you saying that, and thanks for your kind words and the great work you've been doing and continue to do. It's nice to finally get a chance to have a conversation with you. Again, we've been talking to best-selling author Bob Berg about his brand new book, Go Givers, Sell More. Go out and pick up lots of copies of this great book. And as he was mentioning, if you go to gogiverssellmore.com, you can download the first chapter of the book to check it out to see if you like it, which I'm sure you will. And then you can get lots of copies for you and everyone around you. People who are selling or people who want to be selling more especially will love this book. And again, Bob, thanks so much for sharing your wisdom with us and for doing what you do. And for everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Always great to connect with you here on Energy Talk Radio. Make it a great day, and I look forward to the next time we connect.
Thanks for listening to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins. For more information about Mike's work, his seminars, and his best-selling books, please visit www.mike-robbins.com. Do we forget or forget? There's a whole lot of life waiting to live when one day we're brave enough. Talk with conviction. Oh,